friends. Welcome to the Ransomed Heart Podcast. John Eldridge here in the first week of the new year. Happy New Year. With Morgan Snyder, Alan Arnold, just chatting about a new year and how to approach a new year and maybe some thoughts about what it looks like to get God early into the year. Get God early, or the whitewater just kind of sweeps you down, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, I was just in a conversation last week with a buddy, and he's an avid reader, and he made the offhand comment, "Yeah, I don't know what story I want to start, but I want to find one for the beginning of the year that's a really good one." And God just spoke to me in that moment and said, "Alan, what story do you want to start in the new year? Not a book to read, but your story. Like, what are you wanting and longing for in this coming year? And let's talk about that together, because it's going to be there's going to be a story next year, 2017, the year we're in.
Yeah.
What do you want it to be?
Yeah.
And it just was a great reminder for me. And we're recording this a few weeks before the 1st of January.
Right.
But what do I want this year to be? And how do I do it and approach it, dream about it, journal it, anticipate it with God?
Yeah, that's good. What do you guys do historically, traditionally, what do you do to consecrate a new year? Like, how do you approach that just on a real practical level?
Well, John, on a real practical level, because our kids are getting a little older, 9 and 12, we include them and we actually just do that. I mean, we circle up as a family at some point, and that bar is pretty low some years because it's the chaos of life. But I mean, I remember last year we had this sacred moment. We ended up doing it in the minivan, right? The four of us consecrated the year because that was the slot, because the year was kind of getting momentum.
It was already happening.
It was happening. And I say that a little bit shamed because I wish it were more sanctimonious.
Yeah.
But last year it was in the minivan and we just paused and we pulled over and we said, "God, we give you this year." And we had the kids name it. What do we mean by that? What is it of ourselves and our life that we need to bring back under the rule and reign of his kingdom? And one of the really joyful things is then we did ask God for words and say, "God, what do you want to say to us?" And give each of us a word for the year.
Yes.
And then we took those words and we put them on the refrigerator because we wanted to have them in front of us every day as a very low bar, simple, guiding light. And just, I think as I share that, I'm just mindful of keeping the bar low and not giving up on it, rather than setting a high bar that just simply doesn't get done.
Because I know some very efficient people who take a weekend away and you start feeling like a schmuck because they do this every year. They get a weekend away and they go through their calendar together, and it's very, you know, they're very on top of things. And every time I hear that story, I'm like, dang, you know, like set a low bar.
Yes.
Just so you don't miss the opportunity to do it. Do you guys do that as a family? Do you like consecrate your year, Alan?
Yeah, we do. And we have three kids. And to try to keep it, like Morgan said, on a conversational and a level that they can enter in, the big thing for us is we always try to keep it relational. Relational meaning with God. So the question isn't, hey, what's your favorite thing you want to do this year? And what's the trip we want to take initially, as much as, what do you think God has for you this year? What do you really want to experience? And you know that it can only happen with God. Mm-hmm. And so for Kelly and me, but for the kids, it invites us into a year of relationship. Mm-hmm. And then as they speak things, we do record it or write it down. We have a big chalkboard. Huge chalkboard on the wall in our family room, and we write those things down. And it's a great way then, it's like a compass that you can, that points true north. And so throughout the year, well, have you seen this yet? No, not yet. Okay, well, gosh, be expectant. I wonder what God's going to do. And so it makes it, not just for kids, but for us as sons and daughters, for Kelly and me as a son and daughter, expectant on what is God inviting us into, and how do we do it with him more than, just a list of items that we want to check off as they happen or achieve in the year.
Yeah. 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 Stace and I started, first it was just the two of us, when the kids were really young, and now that we're empty nesters, we're back to, you know, just start with the two of you, or if you're single, you know, you just do this for yourself. Jesus, I consecrate my year to you. Like, we're talking about an actual prayer of dedication, an act of consecration, because when you consecrate something to him, you are doing something amazing by moving it into his kingdom and under his rule. Otherwise, the world just kind of gets to have it. Right. You know, I mean, the momentum of things, the culture, your work environment, and of course the thief, you know, will do all they can to sort of take your year in whatever direction they want to take it. So, like, step one is, Jesus, I consecrate my year to you, or we consecrate our year. And then as your kids get older, you can kind of invite them into that. And hey, let's consecrate our year to Jesus. Let's bring it all under his rule. And then for us, we did that for several years, became a regular practice. And then we realized that the next step for us was consecrate the calendar. Like we realized we had to get real specific, consecrate your calendar to Jesus, because the devil's in the details, right? It's down in the decisions that get made. Oh, sure. We have a saying in our house that we now say with a smile and a smirk on our face is like a warning. Everything's possible in 3 months. of course we can have your family in 3 months. Absolutely, they can come this summer. You bet. Whoa. Hang on. Did you ask God about that? You know. Well, of course we can take on that new thing that the church wants us to be a part of. We can teach that class. Mm-hmm. We can do. That's not a big deal, because 3 months from now, everything feels possible, right? You're not in it, and you don't remember what your workload's going to be like, what exhaustion is like. You just have no idea, right? So we've begun to just consecrate our calendar. Mm. Jesus, come and rule over the decisions that we make for our calendar through the year. Like, come and reign in that. We give you jurisdiction. We give you, you know, kingship over that.
John, one of the things that's just worth naming as you're sharing that I've observed in your life is you're assuming a posture of being willing to hear from God, something different than your agenda.
Yes.
And I've just observed that in you over time and in our fellowship of trying to cultivate a habit of consent.
Yes.
A habit that is trained to say, God, I think this is what is good for you, but you know better than me. And so we pray, we consecrate, and it gives us a posture of listening. It's a, you know, like Solomon asked for a wise and discerning heart, but the true root of that word, from what I understand in the Hebrew, is a God-listening heart. Mm. It's a posture of God. Is this what you have? How do you want to redirect? Mm-hmm. I give you permission, God, to remove things from my calendar, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, as you share that, I feel
that's
the
good
resistance that rises up in me that says, I'll pray, but am I willing to let God remove things or even add things?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
That's really good. And Kelly's dad, he asked me, challenged me last year. We were talking about just, hey, what do you have planned for the new year? And I was telling him, and he's a really wise man. And he paused after about 10 minutes and said, wow, man, your schedule's really full. I hope there's time for God to show up and redirect as he wants. And a lot of those things were on the calendar because I felt God's invitation in, but it was a really good heart check of, yeah, my schedule is not my schedule. And so we can plan things as men walking with God. And even then, we need to leave time in the day, because the biggest thing may be the thing that we don't think we have time for in the moment.
Yes.
You know, a friend walks into our office and says, I need some time. And the old me didn't have that kind of time. Like, that would throw the whole day off. And that was actually God's biggest invitation that day. So I think that's really big. John, I wanted to ask you, because until I started reading your books a long time ago, I'd never thought of this, which was God often has a theme for our new year, mm-hmm. a new season.
Yep.
And that goes unexamined in so many Christians' lives, mm-hmm. like just to see it in that way. So how mm-hmm. do you, at the beginning of a year, how do you listen for that or mm-hmm. discern that or step into that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me first share, as I was even driving in today to the Outpost, knowing we're going to be recording, I was praying, and you all know that 2016 has been a very, 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 very hard year for us. It ransomed hard, and then in a lot of our personal lives, we have some staff going through some very hard things personally, and Craig and the other things that happened to us as a team this past year, and there's this sense of okay, you know, 2017 is going to be different, and I had to catch myself and go, Jesus, I don't know that January is the shift. When is the shift? Like even, you know, bringing my own set of expectations, you know, look, January 1st is frankly just a day.
Yes.
It's just a day on a calendar. Like the seasons and the movements of God in your year, there may be a big shift coming in March. Yeah. There may be a big shift coming in July. You know, and we can kind of pin it all on the quote new year.
Right.
So even just that, yes. just saying, God, just guide me, you know, guide me in my expectations, guide me in my interpretation of these things. Because most of us, we had a staff time here before Christmas at Ransomed Heart. And, you know, there were several staff just saying, man, I am really looking forward to 2016 being in my rearview mirror. You know, is kind of the expression. And frankly, there was a little check in me of, I hope so. Like, just because it's January doesn't necessarily mean you've stepped into the new thing. You have to walk with God. You have to say, God, what do you have for me? Where are we now? Interpret this.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, John, I think it's that really helps name another piece to your question of what is it that you do at the beginning of a year. For our family, one of the things we've sense is that God will give us these kind of kingdom mantras, these statements that we keep ever before us that help us find our way back into his kingdom as we kind of stray. And one of them that we've really adopted daily lately is we say, live in the day and measure in the decade. Live in the day and measure in the decade. Mm. That we have learned that much of what happens in the kingdom of God, like modeled in nature, happens rather slowly over time. And I'm aware that there is a seduction of putting pressure on a year when we're living and preparing for eternity. And a decade is a much kinder and truer measurement, if there's a measurement at all.
Especially any personal change. Mm. Like, I'm just hearing the incredible kindness of that. If you would allow that, folks.
Yes.
When you are evaluating your personal change,
yes.
whether it's the healing, you know, in a particular area that you've been seeking, or it's breakthrough in, you know, your diet, your eating, breakthrough in your exercise, breakthrough in the way that you handle money and better financial planning, or just anything,
yes.
you know, all those areas that either internal restoration or just trying to kind of organize our world,
yeah.
like that is such a... It, frankly, it's just more true.
Yes.
You know, I want, like, even, you know, just the process of recovering, you know, from a loss like Craig, you know, there's just so many Christians that just want to, and they just want to snap their fingers and say, you guys are better, right? You're good. You know, you're moving on, right? And you go, wait, you know, like, be kind to yourself. The kind of changes that you want to see in your life, if you were to measure them over years and not months, would be much kinder. But back to your question, Alan, I didn't want to leave that unaddressed. I got off on another thought about timing, but I think God does have a theme over a year for us, and I think he will speak that theme. And sometimes it's simply a word like mercy or love. And it ends up being an orienting thing, and like like you guys put yours on the fridge. I tape mine on a little 3x5 card to my computer. And I also try and put it at the front of my journal. You know, if I'm starting a new journal, I'll put it there. So I see it a lot to remind me. And it's, you know, somewhere in January, and again, take the pressure off. I don't always get to this on January 1st. I might not get to it till February 15th. Okay. Yeah. So just kindness and grace, but just to ask God, what are you speaking over the year? What are you speaking over the year? What do you have a word for me? Do you have a theme? Is there something that we're working on together? And last year for 2016, and I never share these until they're over, one of the words he spoke was my kingdom. And I'm like, huh, well, what does that mean? and you don't necessarily know, gang, what it's going to mean when he speaks it. You don't necessarily know what it means for months. But you just go ahead and go, okay, all right, God, thank you, your kingdom. Yep, I'm going to agree with that. And then one of the things that ended up happening in 2016 for me was I ended up writing a book about the coming kingdom of God and the restoration of all things that comes out in September of this year. And like, my year ended up being hugely thinking about the kingdom of God and thinking about what does that look like when it comes in its fullness. And so I didn't understand the word when it was spoken, but as the year went on, it ended up having a number of applications in our lives.
Well, and two things that you just said that I think are key for people, for me, for us. One is, it's actually kind of good when you hear the word or the theme and don't understand it, because you know there's something bigger than you at play. Mm-hmm. And it's like a father giving a son, a daughter, a gift, and they don't fully realize all the implications or exactly they get to experience it with him.
Yeah.
So we're not saying, gang, that what you need to do is come up with a word you hope the year is about. This is a word from God to you that you can unpack with him.
Yes.
And then to John's point about writing it down, that's so key, because like the God of the universe gives me a word or a theme, and I find by April, I'm like, what was that theme again? If I don't keep it in front of me. And you'd think that would be tattooed on, you know, your arm so that you couldn't forget. But the enemy does try to steal that. And so I think to keep that in front of you and be expectant is huge.
And let me admit, almost every single year, the richness of that word finally becomes apparent to me about November.
It's good.
And it's not like I'm surfing this thing all year long, right? And it's just, woo, you know, living in joy this year, or living in wisdom, or whatever the word, you know. A lot of times I don't realize the full richness of it. And the beauty of it is, and then I'm disappointed to be moving into a new one. Mm. And I think that's a good condition, right? Like I'm in a place where I'm like, ooh, let's not leave that yet. You've really just begun to unpack that for me, or I've just begun to tune into you unpacking it for me, you know, around November, and I know a new one's coming. And I think that's a sweet thing. That's a good sign. Like, okay. Like I get it. I want it. Yeah.
Yeah. I recall, John, because I hear you saying it has a lot more to do with an orientation of your soul than hinging it on outcomes. I remember one year God gave you that word, my love. And as I just observed what you had to go through that year, it would have been dangerous to hinge that on outcomes. But I saw that again and again, that word caused you to orient to, okay, God, this is where you are blessing. This is where you're bringing your kingdom when I orient towards your love. Mm-hmm. Receive my love.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so, and that's back to that, what did you call it? Consent? Is that the word you used? Like a posture of consent?
Yes.
You know, we were talking about that with our calendar, but now we're talking about it in terms of even the theme of the year.
Yeah.
Alan's point being, it's not the word you hope.
Yes.
The year is, you know, like I could say, I want this next year to be just a year of peace, you know, I just want peace. And, but I can't fill in that script. That's not consent.
Totally.
That's not consent as I listen, right? Even to hear the new word, to hear the theme of the year, that takes consent of like, God, you can speak anything over this year you want to.
Yes.
Well, in your book, walking with God, it's so key to understand conversational intimacy with the Father.
Yeah.
And as you're listening for the year and as you're consecrating the year, it has to hinge on intimacy with Him.
Yes.
Because otherwise it's just a to-do item on a list, a long list for the year. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, guys, He even gives hints of the year or the season. Like about a month ago, I was in a meeting with some friends offsite, and we were talking about if we do a few things a year. And as they were talking about them, I couldn't really get that excited about it. So I'm in intimacy asking God, as I'm sitting with these two people, why am I not, what's going on, God? And I heard Him say, well, this is, what they're talking about is almost a year off. You're not going to be with doing this at that time. I've got something different.
Yes.
Well, that wasn't my own thought. And so it's taking those things, watching God in the rhythm and asking Him and leaning into Him. And I think those even foreshadow some future seasons so that when He gives you the word or the theme, the some of the other pieces have already been there.
Yes.
Like a good father would with a son or daughter.
Mm-hmm. So gang, really simple stuff we're recommending here. In the first week of 2017, one idea is the idea of consecrating your year. And if you're single, you do that in some time alone with God. If you're in a relationship, you do that together. If you have kids, you do that with them if they're old enough to understand and embrace that. Do it as a family. Consecrate your year. Like Jesus, we give you our year. We dedicate this year to you and to the kingdom of God. We bring our year under the rule of Christ. We bring our year into the operation of the kingdom of God, and we sanctify it in that way. And I'm not suggesting a quick little prayer that's like a 30-second, so Jesus, we give you the year. I'm like, that's not going to quite get it done. Like, I mean, you linger with this a little bit, you know, pray into a little bit, like, yeah, you know, keep consecrating, keep bringing it into, let this be something you do earnestly. And then you've heard us talking about maybe getting a word over the year, or a set of words, or a description, or something from God, a phrase. And Snyder's put it on the refrigerator, and Arnold's write it on a chalkboard in their family room, and I tape it to my computer. You know, listening for a word, listening for a theme, and then even the idea of consecrate your calendar. You know, there are things that you think you're going to do. Oh no, this is the year. We're taking that trip, you know, that we've always wanted to take. Well, we want to give Jesus jurisdiction over your calendar and let Him guide and lead and even redirect things. This trip that Stacy and I are taking to Ireland at the end of the month, frankly, makes no sense right now. It's going to be a busy couple months for us. But we prayed, and Jesus says, this is what I have for you. Absolutely. So you can be surprised in both directions. Yes. You know, He's got good things for you that you don't think fit into your year. Mm-hmm. And He's like, no, listen to me. I do have this for you, and you have other things that you think are either obligations. Oh, no, we always do that. We always go to the lake with your parents. Well, you might want to ask Jesus about that, you know, they're consecrating your calendar. And I think even just those three things, just those three simple steps here, the beginning of a year could do a lot of good for you. So we wanted to share that here. First week of 17, welcome to the new year. We sure look forward to tracking with you and the podcast here. We've got a lot of really neat podcasts planned for the year. And also, we've got great events going on at Ransomed Heart. Our boot camps are captivating, our intensive. We've got some great new resources coming out. So
you've got a new book coming out,
yeah,
right?
I got a new book coming out in September that you're just going to flip over. It's so hopeful. So lots of things. We just look forward to walking together with you as we walk with God. You've been listening to the Ransomed Heart podcast with Morgan Snyder, Alan Arnold, and John Eldridge.